It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Mark, and good morning.
And good morning, whether it's Tuesday afternoon or Saturday morning. The show airs twice each week on KCIS. And Daniel is not afraid to go where no counselor has gone before. Actually, it seems like this is kind of a hot-button issue
this week.
Yeah. We're looking at the subject of gender identity. What is it? Gender dysphoria. We'll tackle just about everything having to do with this subject, a several-part series we're beginning today.
Yeah, people heading back to school, and I know I've had just seems like every September there's kind of like the onslaught of kind of liberal teaching, and a lot of Christian people choose to send their kids to a public school, and they just get bombarded with it. And it even works its way into even Christian schools, because not every Christian family has the same value or the same understanding. And one of the things I want to try to do in the next couple or three programs here is to clear up as much as I can of the confusion just having to do with what the left is calling gender identity and gender dysphoria and some of these diagnoses. As I'm just speaking here, I realize that I didn't really get into the diagnostic statistical manual, but I can touch on that probably not in the next two shows, but I'm thinking this is going to go into a third show. I want to just kind of lay out the topography, where the issue is, why it's an issue, how it came to be an issue, and also want to wrap it up finally with a biblical point of view. What's really true and what's
well, it seems like it's been kind of a issue just very recently, as far as the schools and the bathrooms, all this in society to try and help people who are struggling with this, quote, help people, and particularly schools. Why do you think it all of a sudden is kind of like one of those in vogue issues? Is this like a new thing? Has gender identity been a problem for a long time? And we're just now.
Well, part of the issue is that they would like us to believe that this has always been an issue. In fact, as we're talking here a little bit later, we'll get into a little bit of how the left has manipulated this, and even rewriting science and rewriting history to have a lot of people think that that Western culture has gotten off somehow, and that the global understanding was always this gender identity,
gender
thing.
Fluidity, as
yeah. But what's really happening, I think, Mark, is that darkness has critical mass, and it's just the speed is just increasing. Bible talks about how darkness increasing and evil increasing on the earth, and it's increasing exponentially. I think we'll see that this has always been the agenda of the enemy. Just as Christ came in the fullness of time in history at one time, that there's going to be a fullness of time. The Bible speaks about as it was in the days of Noah, and we're approaching that period of time. I was thinking this past week about how the scripture that says if you live a godly life, you'll suffer persecution, and how that even 50 years ago or more, but in my life, at least 50 or 60 years ago, when I heard that, I just thought, yeah, there are some people that suffer persecution. But now it's really close to home. Yeah. And now it's almost seems rare to see a fish on a car that is one without feet.
Right.
Or a fish on a car, or a Jesus.
So you think that this gender issue is kind of the last symptom of a society that's gone completely down the tubes?
I think it's one of the elements that was necessary, because the underlying agenda of the left, And if you've read Peter Christian's, or excuse me, I'm getting Peter and Christopher mixed up, but Peter Hitchens' book, The Rage Against God, how he ties all of these various left extremists through history, there's really only one agenda, and that is a rage against God. Mm. You know, and underlying
even
this whole...
Even an atheist pointed that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, the underlying theme here then always is to get rid of God, and one of the ways they do that, a primary way they do that, is by undermining the rationale behind the idea of absolutes. And so we're talking in terms of gender here. The obvious, or what has appeared to be obvious, is that there are two genders. There's male and female. But so there's a lot of confusion, and here, and I want to help to sort out, you know, kind of again, what's actually true, and how this deception has come about. So, how important are terms? And that's kind of the beginning of this whole thing, because one of the things that the liberal agenda is doing is rewriting the dictionary, and a few. Now, even look, I was even looking in the Oxford English Dictionary, which is supposed to be the anchor, supposed to be earliest uses, but they have even updated their definition of gender, but you almost can't find a definition of gender that kind of reaches back or echoes the thoughts of earlier centuries, because up until just recently, gender for 500 years has meant basically
male
and female. So how this comes about? It's I want to kind of walk people through this. The left is saying that gender is not about anatomy. That's a direct quote. Gender is not about anatomy. And I get this from, if you're listening to these shows and you want to kind of look at my sources, I'm getting a lot of this, the liberal left information from one particular website that I found, and it's teentalk.ca for Canada, teentalk.ca. And this would come under gender identity. So if you wanted to look that up and kind of follow along for the next couple weeks, they say right there when they're talking about gender identity that gender is not about anatomy. But from
now, how are they able to say that?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's largely they use a conflation of terms. And I can give a number of examples how they've done this in different areas. I was looking at some information on Antifa, the quote-unquote anti-fascist group, and how that they have conflated the terms like of you know, quote-unquote fascism, to include just about everything, and in fact everything that they don't agree with, and somehow it no longer means the kind of violence they're committing. It's the kind of violence someone else might think about committing, and so they conflate the terms, they confuse the terms, and then they that's kind of their shoe-in. So the specific example I'm talking about here, example of the conflation of the terms male and female. So I've got three steps down here that we use. The first one I'm referring to is the poison pawn, and in that phase, what they try to get you to do is agree to a premise that seems true. Or harmless. If you don't know if it's exactly true, it seems not to be significant or important. And in this case, the premise that they suggest is that male and female are gender. Okay, well, I agree with that. And then they go further to say they're gender identifiers, and they're the same as masculine and feminine.
Now, that wouldn't necessarily follow.
But a lot of people get pulled into it that far. They say, well, it's a little bit different, but it's a difference that doesn't make a difference. And so that's the first step. They get to you to agree to a premise that seems somewhat true, and if it's gray, it's not significant, or it's harmless. And then the second stage is I call the art of the deal. And that would be the doctrine that masculine and feminine are not rigid or uniform. Now, I would agree with that, too. They differ of culture to culture, and from individual to individual. So you might have two men that are masculine, but they might not be both be wrestlers or heavy equipment operators. One might be a florist and
or
one
an artist.
Or an artist. And you say, okay, well, they're both masculine. So masculinity isn't rigid. It's not uniform. It differs from culture to culture. You know, there are cultures where the men breastfeed the children. Well, I shouldn't say cultures. I think there is a culture where they do that. You know, men's breasts can actually develop to where they give milk.
So really? I had never heard of that.
Yeah. In a lot of, or I shouldn't say, again, not a lot of cultures, but in some cultures, men stay home and take care of the house, and the women are out foraging for food or that kind of thing. So that far, they've got us. Masculine and feminine. They're not rigid. They're not uniform. They differ from culture to culture, from individual to individual. And so then, if the same would be true of gender identity, because gender identity is not limited to male and female. So they've already sold us that part, male and female. Our gender identifiers, they're the same as masculine and feminine. Now they talk about masculine and feminine. Well, that's pretty broad, isn't it? Yeah, and you've already agreed that it's the same as male and female. So therefore, male and female can be pretty broad too. Mm. And then the last step would be rewriting the data, whether it be scientific or historical. And so then they will tell us that other cultures have always practiced this idea of this broad spectrum of gender identity. Now, when they say gender identity, we're thinking, well, I guess I can't argue with that, because if male and female is the same as masculine and feminine, I know that masculine and feminine is a kind of a broad spectrum. So I guess you're convincing me then that gender identity, which includes male and female, is a broad spectrum. So now they've got us kind of going down the path, and also that limiting gender identity to just anatomy or genitalia is narrow-minded and wrong. So I think, maybe I don't agree with it, but I don't have a strong argument because we're this far down the path. Mm. So now they've conflated the term. Clearly, what we need, though, we need a term that distinguishes anatomy from behavior and biology from psychology, and that's the line that they're trying to blur here, and they have successfully done it. So when we come back, we'll get a little deeper into that.
Okay, interesting kind of the history of the gender identity is more than just genitals. It's all kinds of things, and we're being sold this in our culture and our schools. Psychology, current terms, and is it biblical? And Daniel sees a lot of this come up in counseling this time of year, too. His kids are getting back to school. Maybe Johnny went home during the summer. He was a boy, and he's coming back now, and he's Jennifer. And what are families supposed to do about this? What are the other people in school supposed to do about this? It's a real dilemma. It's growing. If you are struggling with this issue, you know somebody is, you have family members who are struggling with this, Daniel would love to help. He's a counselor and life coach. Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find this series and other series. And these shows will be helpful, I hope, not only for parents but for young people. I'm going to try to state these terms and these concepts in terms that kids will appreciate and understand.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind broadcast this week looking at kind of an interesting subject that's becoming more and more prevalent in our society, and that is gender identity And kind of the this week, part one, you think this is going to be a several-part series.
I'm sure it is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Daniel. And Daniel, we left off kind of defining some terms there.
Yeah, we talked about, in the first part, just kind of the steps that are taken to conflate the terms. And that's very important, conflating and changing the terms. And just basically slowly walking people down kind of the primrose path, so to speak. And I think that young people, kids going to school, this is not over their heads. They should understand this. And I understand and appreciate, too, that there's not a lot they can do in the classroom as far as, standing up against this. It's probably going to be pretty overwhelming. But they should know within themselves what's true and what's not.
Well, this is what's so insidious about it. Younger and younger kids are being taught to try and determine that they can be both a boy or a girl, mm-hmm. and at younger and younger ages, and it's like you can choose, and kids are traumatized by this a lot of times,
and it's sold to them in such a way that it makes perfect sense to them. And so that's why we're talking about in the first part, the examples of how the stages, the poison pawn and the art of the deal, and then rewriting the data. And, they've got this explained to kids in these colorful ways. You know, everybody's got a different colored heart, everybody likes different flavors of this or that, and different flavors, different colors. And so kids, they're thinking, well, yeah, that seems true. And so wouldn't it also be true that you get to choose what kind of toy you want to play with?
Why is this being taught to young kids? What happened to reading, writing, and arithmetic?
Yeah.
Why this social engineering? I mean, it's just...
Again, it's I think it's getting rid of absolutes. And really, Mark, I think it's the brain behind this is Satan. It's not...
Oh, totally.
It's not people figuring this out. It doesn't make any sense.
It's a judgment against America, I think.
And so this is for parents to kind of take that information and explain to their children the differences. Part of what the thing that's so diabolical is that a lot of what the teacher is saying is true, but the teacher is conflating it to include some other material that makes it untrue.
Right.
And so that's how parents have to be able to explain to their kids, okay, that part, what they're saying is true, but they've confused it with this part. So we start by saying that we need terms that distinguish between anatomy and behavior and between biology and psychology. Right. So we need to keep separate gender and gender traits. Now, just introduce some terms that teachers are trying to blur across, gender and gender traits, because you can recognize, as we said in the beginning, that things like masculine and feminine, which are gender traits, are not uniform. They're not universal. There are men have different kinds of jobs.
Yeah, this is the classic thing with girls or tomboys who are really good
at
sports.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And guys who are florists versus guys who are,
quarterbacks.
Timberjacks or quarterbacks. Yeah. So here's a cognitive test to demonstrate why this is important, so the kids can appreciate this too. So I'm going to list off some words here, and let's see what doesn't belong in the group. You've seen these little games, what doesn't belong in the group, if they give you like an eye test or even an intelligence test or something. So here's the first group: is eyes, arms, feet, ears, and perfume. So what doesn't belong in the group?
Well, I'd say probably perfume.
Probably perfume, because the other parts have to do with your anatomy, and perfume is something that you can choose to wear or choose not to wear, but you can't choose to have eyes, ears, feet, and arms. So here's another one: lipstick, boots, tattoos, pants, and women. So what doesn't belong in the group?
Women
doesn't.
That's kind of the opposite approach.
Women
mm-hmm.
don't belong in the group because the others are things that you can put on, things that you can choose, but you can't choose to be a woman. That's something that you were born with. And the third one: roller skates, motorcycles, golfing, and suntan, and man. And what doesn't belong in the group? The man, because, of course, the other things are choices that you can make. So what children are being taught is that things like eyes, arms, feet, ears, and perfume all wind up, all belong in the same group. Or lipstick, boots, tattoos, pants, and woman all belong in the same group, that there's not a difference between your anatomy and your mind, how you feel and the choices that you make. So the left wants to conflate the term gender so that all of these things belong in the same group. And, of course, you can see that that's absurd. Any child listening to this would be able to tell what doesn't belong in those groups. It just makes sense. So what term do we want that's going to distinguish male and female? And historically, in our language, it's been the term sex or gender, typically gender. The gender for over 500 years, the term gender has meant either male or female. Now, in the past...
Yeah, I was going to say 500 years. I thought that was all recorded history.
Well, this is the first usage of that particular term, gender.
About 500 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so you're looking at when that term is first coined in the English language, it's meant to distinguish between what is a man and what is a woman, what is male and what is female. Those are the two genders. Until Darwinism, for example, is kind of the turning point. And then the humanists, the close of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century. And so actually, would it be the 19th century and the 20th century? Yeah. What term then should we use to distinguish between, say, cultural stereotypes and masculine male and female gender traits? And there again, that term, not gender, but gender traits. And cultural stereotypes, because as we said before, the gender traits, the way men are described and women are described from one culture to another, can be very different.
Yes.
But they're still men and women, but the way that they behave can be very different. And so they have traits. That's their behavior and the way that they dress and the jobs that they have. Those are their traits.
Now, I would say that the whole evolution of gender traits and what's acceptable is probably a good thing. Because, I mean, for instance, women didn't used to be able to, like, serve in the military. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that for the most part, is good. Or sports.
Right. Yeah.
Like, for instance, my mom was an excellent golfer long before it was cool to be really good at golf. Mm-hmm. She probably could have been a pro golfer at one time. But because she was competing more in a man's world, she wasn't able to pursue that as a career. So we live in a society now where women can pretty much do anything. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a good progress.
Yeah. And men can cook. And men and women can both write.
Right.
And create in art. They can do those things.
Right.
And those are traits. They have nothing to do with anatomy. Well, sometimes they might have to do with anatomy. I mean, women can play sports. They play sports differently than men because they have different anatomy.
Right.
So the term then that we use to differentiate between male and female gender traits or cultural stereotypes for men for male and female gender traits, those terms we typically use in our language and in our culture, the two terms masculine and feminine. So masculine refers to a cultural stereotype of male gender traits, or feminine refers to a cultural stereotype of female gender traits. Now, if your child is in kindergarten through sixth grade or something like that, and they're teaching, you know, we all have a different colored heart, and we're different flavors, and you can color the dinosaur any color you please. They're talking about masculine versus feminine, talking about traits, and it's true that there are many different flavors in traits, but that has nothing to do with the anatomy. So we have and what they're trying to confuse us and say is that the term gender identity includes all of this, anatomy and the different choices that we make, and it's all the same thing. But what we're saying is that's untrue. There are actually two different terms. One term is gender, and that's male or female. And the other is masculine, feminine, and there you have all the flavors and all right. the colors, and both men and women can play golf.
And so male and female is like the use of the term binary.
Binary.
The fixed yeah. truth.
Yeah.
And then the traits, though, can be all kinds of things.
And there are so many, it's a continuum.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different interests. Mm-hmm. And so that's what, so according to the political correctness, anatomy identifiers are no more objective or permanent than cultural stereotypical traits and individual behaviors or emotions.
See, that's the poison pill here. That's the lie that's yeah. being sold to our society mm-hmm. that I think that's causing the big problems.
Right.
I'm hoping that this is just kind of a fad, because it's getting to where it's really affecting, I mean, even, you know, men competing as women in women's sports. You know, a lot of women are going, wait, hold on, time out. You know, you can't be a weightlifter and you're really a man, but yeah. you say you're a woman or you feel like a woman. Everybody's having to coddle this kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that this is just a phase, a fad. You think it's here to stay.
I think we're pushing back against it. I don't know how successful we'll be.
Well, it's not truth. It's not factual.
No, it isn't.
It's just feelings.
But
how can we all go around trying to coddle everybody's feelings?
Yeah, the left doesn't want the truth.
But it's coming back to bite them, too.
Yeah.
The truth and facts are coming back to bite them.
Well, I recently saw a lawsuit by one high school girl athlete,
yeah.
that lost a championship
yeah, yeah.
because of that.
Yeah, so it's a real dilemma, and it seems to be getting worse. And gender identity part one this week, obviously a big subject. We're going to continue this subject next week. If you're struggling with this issue or anything else in your family, marital life, Daniel does wonderful counseling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website Bible Based Counselor, where you're going to find these radio shows podcasted. You can listen to them again and share them with other people. Offices, by the way, in Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind Broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.